Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So who's really to blame for the Bucks' blowout loss to the Saints? And what happened to Todd Bowles' defense? Why did Byron Leftwich abandon the run so soon? And did the addition of Antonio Brown hurt or help? It's time to eat some W's. We're talking Bucks football with Tom Jones, my former radio partner, longtime columnist of the Tampa Bay Times, now with the Poynter Institute, here on this edition of Sports Day Tampa Bay. I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times, along with producer Steve Versnick. And you know who's got the best party platters for your catering needs in Tampa Bay? Well, that's easy. It's Mr. Empanada. What the heck is an empanada? Well, you take your favorite foods, you place them inside a pocket of homemade dough that is cooked perfectly until it's golden brown and piping hot. I'll tell you, their empanadas are for a fresh twist on an old favorites. They've got all kinds of delicious menu items you can order made from scratch, including soup, salads, and Cuban sandwiches. You can order them online at MrEmpanada.com, or you can call any of their 7 convenient locations in Tampa Bay, where Latin food, quality, and service meet. It's Mr. Empanada. All right, Tom Jones, join us now from the Poynter Institute of Media Studies. And Tommy, I don't know if you spent, 5 minutes watching the Sunday night football game before you realized this is a god-awful football game. But it was supposed to be, you know, maybe a classic, maybe an instant classic. I mean, you know, for the division lead, Tom Brady against Drew Brees, rematch of week one. Bucks are so much better. As somebody wrote in the Tampa Bay Times, maybe the best team in the NFC. So what happened? You've been around. You've seen games like this. Have you ever seen anything quite like that?
So I spent all week at Poynter basically not sleeping. Sleeping like 2 hours a night, watching the longest election in the history mankind.
Have they counted the votes yet?
We're still waiting on Arizona. Steve Kornacki on the big board, still waiting to tell me who won Arizona.
John King. Oh, my
right,
God.
Right, both of them, wearing their fingers out. And so I finally, Sunday night, I'm like, okay, you know what? I think I can take deep breath. Yeah. Everything's done for the day. I'm going to sit down on it. I'm going to watch some good football. And you're right, 5 minutes. It's like 5 minutes. It felt like, I'm like, this is it. I worked all week for this. Yeah. You know what, Rick? Let me put it this way, and I want to get your reaction. I know you've thought and written a lot about it already.
No, that's right.
I mean, on one hand, I feel like, okay, it wasn't good.
No.
There was nothing good about that. But I don't think it was like it wasn't as bad as, I don't think it's going to have the long lasting effects that we think it's going to have. I mean, these games happen. I'm the last Bucks apologist in the world. You know that. But
oh, yeah.
I'm not going to get carried away with this game. I'm a little concerned if I'm a Bucks fan that they seem to, you know, they played two really dog games this year besides the Chicago game. And both were against New Orleans. We kind of dismissed the first one because it was the opener. But this one, I don't know what the excuse is for this one. At the same time, these games happen. I mean, we saw the other day the Steelers struggling against Dallas. I mean, sometimes you throw a clunker there. Rick, you covered the Super Bowl team. I don't know, was it the Super Bowl team that got its rear ends kicked in by the Raiders?
It was 99. It was Tony's team. But yeah, because John Gruden was actually coaching the Raiders. And they went out there with, you know, an epic defense that eventually won the Super Bowl, but they were really good. And I think I don't know the exact score, but I think they got beat by like 34. I mean, it was they got, you know, run up on them. 250 yards rushing, I think they gave up that day. Gruden just kept pounding the rock, and yeah, it was bad. And the game, they do happen. I'll tell you, they don't happen to good teams very often. I mean, I can remember after the Bucks won the Super Bowl, we were in Philadelphia because they had to open the link. They closed the Vet, and then they made them open the link. They're like the last Super Bowl team to not host their first game, which John still talks about.
I'll tell you what, man. I don't understand how we're going to go back to Philadelphia. How does that happen?
So they go back up there. They open the link, and we're sitting around on that Sunday because it's a Monday night game, right, with John Madden and Al Michaels. Do you believe in miracles? And so we're watching, and the Patriots are at Buffalo. And the Patriots are good. You know what I mean? Like, they're the Patriots. It's 2003. They got beat by not a good Buffalo team. I should look up and see who the quarterback and everybody was for Buffalo. Not a good team. They got beat 31-0. I'm telling you, they got shellacked. And I'm sitting here watching this game and going, holy cow, look at this. I've never seen a Patriots team get handled like this. Like Buffalo, maybe Buffalo's really good. Maybe the Patriots are bad, you know?
Right.
Maybe this is the end. Like it just barely began. They proceeded to lose one more game that year and won the Super Bowl. And they were 14-2 and didn't lose again. I lost one more time and was 14-2 and went on to win the Super Bowl. So it happens. It doesn't happen often. It usually doesn't happen in the middle of a season. But there's some things that I saw the other night that there should be some real red flags about this football team. And I want to get your opinion on this too. You know, when you have a new toy and you want to figure out how to use it and you spend an awful lot of time playing with it, you know, and then your friends come over. Like,
yep.
I think having Antonio Brown and all that comes with Antonio Brown, including the Zoom calls and having to tell Mike Evans and the guys that we have a new receiver and the game planning and Brady wanting it to work. Now, I can't give you empirical evidence that that's why they lost the game. But, you know, Tom, the fabric and the chemistry of a locker room is a very – it can be a delicate balance, you know. It's like your pool. You don't have enough chlorine, man, it's going to turn green, you know. And everybody says the right things, and yet coaches are spending time trying to get this guy involved. We're now going to be a four wide receiver team. I don't know. I mean, could it be that you know, there's guys getting left out? You know, Tom has his new friends, or he's bringing back his old friends, and his new friends are feeling like, well, maybe he didn't like me as much.
I would feel a little bit that way. Now, look, I think Mike Evans and Chris Godwin are professionals, and I think they want to
totally.
Win. And if Anthony and Antonio Brown is going to help them win football games, I think they're all for it.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't win the other night. And so now there's that extra weight going forward. Now, okay, what about the next game? Now, Mike Evans always, you know, he has a tough time against New Orleans, typically. And
although, Tom missed him a bunch of times.
Yes.
And there, it's not even funny. Like, there's early in a game, I think it was the second quarter, he throws an out route to Miller, who he also didn't throw the ball to, and he actually throws it out of bounds. He's out of bounds when he catches it. Mike Evans is running a streak down the middle of the field, and the safety was either blitzing or got sucked up on play. Something happened. There is no one within 25 yards of this guy. I mean, I could have completed that ball for a touchdown. I'm not exaggerating. I can't throw it very far. And Tom Brady just kind of predetermined, you know, in his pre-snap read or whatever, this is who's going out to the sideline to Miller. And, you know, they've missed Mike Evans a lot. And in this game, he wasn't even targeted till the second half. It's already 31-0 or whatever, somewhere like that. So they're not doing a good job. And I know he's been beat up and stuff. There's some issues on this team. And a lot of it right now seems to be a little bit of play calling. You know?
Oh, I thought, I didn't care for the play calling at all the other day. I mean, he ran the ball, what, four times, if you don't count
four times.
Count the kneel down?
Count the kneel down would be five. Here's the thing, and I know what Bruce is saying, because we asked him about this, and we said, you know, he goes, well, down 21-0. I mean, you know, we tried to go hurry up a little bit there and try to create some tempo. And blah, 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 blah. Yeah, you were down 17 to the Chargers. You were down 10 to the Green Bay Packers, and they're really good. You know what I mean? Like, I don't remember just saying, and one of those runs, by the way, was in the first possession of the game. They went three and out four straight times. So that doesn't give you a lot of plays to begin with. But one of those runs was on second down. First down, crazy play, was incomplete. He gets hit. Tristan Wirfs is one-on-one, gets driven into him. Second down is a 7-yard run. Okay, they're only going to carry it three more times for the game.
That's crazy.
Right? Like, if I just said, hey, Tom, I got a little prop bet here. I bet they only give it to that guy. I bet they only run the ball three more times. Like, wait, what? Well, yeah, they're going to fall behind. Well, how far behind would you have to be? Three more times. Like, they might run it three times in the next series. This team had three straight games where Ronald Jones went for 100 yards. And they played pretty good, except for the Bears game, which they should have won. But you know what I mean? Like, they started to have a little bit of an identity. Run the ball, play action, be physical, guys wide open. Offensive line was blocking like crazy. Tom had all kinds of time.
Now I just wonder, like, well, we got Godwin, we got Evans, and we got Miller, and now we got Brown and Gronk. Well, hell, let's throw the ball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, absolutely. I know what you mean. And you got Tom Brady, who's what? And Brown's living with him, right?
Well, yeah. There's some debate about that. Okay. He did live. I don't know if he's living with him right now. He did live with him last week, and presumably he's going to get his own place, I think. But there's plenty of rooms over there. I mean, it was like 16 rooms over there.
No, but I mean, if the guy's living with you, you feel, Monday through Saturday, you feel like a little bit of an obligation to throw him the ball a couple times on Sunday.
Well, he's going to get the ball. I mean, it's not like anybody said don't give him the ball. But my point is that, like, you're now a spread them out four receiver team. I mean, sometimes, you know, they were going sort of two, three tight ends. And look, Ali Marpet was out. Donovan Smith hasn't blocked anybody in New Orleans. Unless it was on Bourbon Street and I didn't see it. I haven't. He just can't play against those guys for whatever reason. And so the Saints are smart. They were running games. They were doing stuff on that left side. They couldn't protect Tom. But he looked more like 43 than Breeze looked 41 the other day.
No, for sure. The thing that would concern me about this game, and again, I'm not one to usually overreact to these games because when it's that bad,
yeah.
When you look at a team and it's that
can't
bad.
Can't be like, that bad. Or
right,
that good,
exactly.
Right.
Yeah. It just snowballed on you. You fell behind. You wanted to catch up. You
Some
maybe panicked
man.
A little
Last
bit.
Time a snowball like that.
But I think what, that's where I don't like go crazy about a loss like that. What would bother me, though, was who it is against, Rick. I mean, if it had been a game like just some random game. Like, I'll use the example. I watched a lot of the Steelers game.
Yeah.
On Sunday.
And Dallas rose up and almost beat him.
Yeah, and that's like one of those games like, okay, that's just the tide shifted, something goofy happened. Because clearly the Steelers are way better than 5 points better. And you had special teams plays and miss and a blocked field goal and interceptions and all kind of goofy stuff happens. I don't think Ben threw an interception, actually, but like a long kickoff return, stuff like that. So you could almost dismiss like, okay, that was just crazy. That was just a crazy game that happens. This game, however, this is New Orleans. This is your rival. This is a team that everybody looked at like, these are the guys you're going to have to beat if you want to get back to Tampa for the Super Bowl. And now I think I saw something like, and you got to be careful with these numbers, but there was something like if the Bucs had won or going into that game, they had like a 75% chance of winning the division. Now it's down to like 28% or something like that.
Yeah.
Basically, you could probably forget about being that number one seed with the bye. And
they would have had, they would have been the number one seed in the NFC. I know the season's not over. You know, if the playoffs started today, well, it doesn't.
Right, right.
But had they won last night or Sunday night because the Seattle Seahawks got beat and, some other teams, they would have been the number one seed, in the NFC.
So that's what concerns me, that you played the one team that you already played Green Bay, you beat them. And this was the one team that you kind of circled it on the schedule and said, okay, this is the big game. And they came out super. That's what would concern me. You came out flat against a game that you shouldn't have come out flat
mattered
against.
Most.
Right.
Tom, this was the most important game the Bucs had played since 2008. In fact, that same year was the last time they hosted Sunday Night Football. You know how I know? Because David Price, because I was there.
David, you wrote about it the other day, I saw.
Right, because David, And because David Price, came in relief for the Rays that night.
Yep.
And sent them to the American League, sent them to the World Series as the AL champs. But think about how long that's been.
Oh, yeah.
David Price was a rookie. He had come
Evan
up
Longoria,
that month.
Yeah, Evan Longoria was a rookie, right?
He was a rookie. Those guys' careers are, if not over, close to it. And that's the last time the Bucs played an important game. I mean, a really important game.
Right.
This time, this late in the year.
Well, now we'll see what the lasting effect of that game will be. I mean, if they come out next week and they move on, they had that clunker game against Chicago and
they weren't too
back.
Good against the Giants, brother.
No, that's true.
That's two in a row, right?
Right. But after the Chicago game, like they came back.
Yeah, they got
played really well. No penalties, right? Yeah.
They beat Green Bay. Yeah.
Look great and really bounced back. Now we'll see. We'll go for. Here's the other thing, Rick. And again, I'm not the apologist. I'm not making excuses. I don't.
Who
think
are
you?
Wait, Linda, well, can I just I back up? Like, who are you? For 5 years, I got up every morning at 3:45.
Tom Brady's my quarterback. It's my quarterback.
I'm telling you, man. What's happened, Terrell Owens?
Oh, by the way, speaking of quarterbacks, okay, yeah. we'll hold off. We'll make a detour in a second here.
Yeah, no, we can go. We can take a turn down that street.
You're going to eat W's? You're gonna eat W's now?
Oh, no, we're not going to. Let's just wait a minute, because I got a whole thing on that.
Okay, that's what I was saying.
Yeah. No, let's not go down that street yet.
But here's the thing.
I'm going to cruise by that street for now.
Here's what I'm saying about Tom Brady and about that. We're still, what, 9 games into this experiment or this new?
Wait a minute.
Did we think it was going to go?
It's not like an experiment if you've signed the 43-year-old 6-time Super Bowl.
I get it, but we can't.
It's a right now deal.
I get it, but here's the thing, and it's worked out for the most part, but you're going to have these games that go south on you.
But you can't have that many games that go south on you.
Well, it can't happen certly in January.
No, it can't happen. You're not going to get to.
But listen, it wasn't going to be smooth. This wasn't going to be Tom Brady with the Patriots. There are going
to
be games
like
this.
But wait a minute. He made it to 6-2. I thought the bumpy part was over. You know, when the pilot comes on and says, just fasten your seatbelts. We're going to have a little bit of bumps, and it should be over. And then the plane settles down, and you go,
okay. But you
and the little
play
light
analogy?
Comes on, and you hear that tone, boo, and you go, good.
Okay, to use
and
that.
And then all of a sudden, we just dropped 2,000 feet.
Right.
That's not supposed to happen.
Yeah, you put your seatbelt on. Everybody can sit on for a minute, and then we'll be back fine again.
Or they tell you to assume the position and put your head between your legs. Yeah.
That could happen, too.
Yeah, exactly. How do we know?
I don't think the other night was the end of the world. It wasn't a good sign. It wasn't good, but I don't think it was the end of the world. I'm not going to write them off just yet. And here's the thing, Rick. I mean, I know New Orleans is the team.
If they don't have if they make it as a wild card, and not that going on the road is all that, you know, challenging when there's no fans in the stands, but it's actually more challenging that there's no fans in the stands. But if they have to take the long route, you know, Tom Brady's never done that, right? Like, never.
It's hard. Most quarterbacks don't do that. Most teams don't have to do that.
Right. When he goes to the Super Bowl, he hosts the championship game, period. Right.
Who's the next best team? Okay, if we agree now that New Orleans is the best team in the NFC, and I think we would have to at this point.
Yeah.
Who's the next best team? And then let's take the Bucks
sure.
out of it.
Yeah, I'm not like, sure. I would have said a week ago, I would have said Seattle, their defense is horrible.
Their defense is horrible. And Russ,
yeah, they gave up 44.
And I like Russell Wilson a lot, but if you put him in games where he has to win by himself.
It's the whole team.
He makes mistakes when he has to win because he's trying to do too much. He's trying to carry. He has to carry that team.
And he can't tackle. That's his problem.
Well, that's it. But I mean, he tries to keep him in games, and he's throwing 3 interceptions a game now.
Yeah, he is now.
Because and bad interceptions because he realizes that if he doesn't score, they're going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
So and then then you got Green Bay who can get hot at any time, but
they're bouncing back a little bit. I mean, you know, they had the loss to the Bucs, and then they've kind of righted the ship a little bit. They still got
Mr. Swag.
I mean, Rodgers, they got, you know, Jake from State Farm. They got, I mean, by the way, that guy does not miss arm day. Have we had this discussion?
No, Jake from State Farm? I was watching it the other day. I was watching it with my son. I go, hey, that Jake from Allstate is jacked.
It's State Farm. Don't get that wrong. But yeah.
State Farm, yeah.
He is. Yeah, man.
He is.
You know the story behind that guy?
No. Who is he?
So. He's actually an agent, or he's actually a State Farm agent. I swear to you, they had like a contest where they were doing this commercial, and you could submit like, you know, pictures and whatever. Like, I want to, you know, I'm going to be the spokesman. Yeah. He's legit. He's not an actor. Well, he is now.
They should do like a sitcom with him and Flo from Progressive and
who's
that
better?
Motar guy or whatever.
Who's better? Yeah, who's better? Flo? Or Jake from State Farm.
And then you got Dennis Hasbert for Allstate.
Oh, yeah, the guy that's that Mayhem, right?
Oh, yeah. Mayhem.
Well, Mayhem, but the guy who played President on 24 initially in that. You're in good hands with the Allstate guy.
Yeah, the Allstate guy. The guy who's the...
The guy that walks in the restaurant and everybody says that's the... Yeah.
He played the guy in Major League.
Pedro Serrano. Yeah,
Pedro Serrano.
Oh, I didn't know he played
Serrano. Yeah. Go back. I didn't. That's one of those guys. Like, really? That was him? Yeah, that was him.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'd watch that show. Put them all in one house, living together. Sort of an 8 is enough type of thing. Yeah, I'm all in. That'd be great. But okay. So after Green, so you got Green Bay. You got Seattle.
Seattle, Green Bay.
San Francisco's
How about the Rams?
Done.
How about the Rams? The Rams aren't done, right?
No, they're not done. But I go hot and cold on them. I don't know.
Jared Goff.
I'd be more scared of like a team like Minnesota. I'd be more scared of them catching them.
They're coming. They're catching fire a little bit.
Yeah,
with Dalvin
and they
Cook.
Can run the football. Yeah, with Dalvin Cook and Cousins.
They got a long way to go though.
Right.
But, so how about Chicago?
No, they're done. Forget. They're, you know what? Chicago needs to think about going back to Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah,
because Nick Foles can't do it. He can't play.
Yeah, they can't score.
No. So that's what I'm saying. Like when you look around, yeah.
So you're saying the NFC is just all in the South. It's just New Orleans or Tampa, and that's who's going to win it.
I think so. And I mean, really? I would never count out Seattle because of Russ, but I do think, and I like Aaron Rodgers. I'd be afraid to play him, but I'm just saying it's not like the AFC where I'm scared to death of like three teams.
There's only one team in the. You know, Pittsburgh's no good, right?
No, they're not. Kansas City's the only team.
That's 8-0. I don't know how they got there, but Ben's not even good.
He's better than I thought he was going to be, and he still can play. And that
but
defense
he's not
can
Ben, right.
No, he's not Ben from like 5 years ago, but he's not bad.
Right.
He's not bad.
He's okay. I mean, he's okay.
He won that game yesterday for him. Pretty much won that game. That was a typical Steeler game. You know, Ben limping around, and you think he's got a torn ACL, and he throws two touchdowns.
I just think we're going to be looking at Kansas City.
But even though the Steelers are 8-0 and they beat the Ravens and they beat the Titans both on the road, whatever that means these days, I think if they play Kansas City would destroy them.
You know what's shocking to me is the Raiders beat Kansas City.
I know.
In Kansas City.
There you go. That's my point. Those games happen. Like, I can't explain it. You don't know why.
No, but I can explain that one. The Kansas City got bored. They're so good. I'm telling you. Like, Pat Mahomes. Hey, Pat.
Hey, over here.
Like, he's just so good that he just tries stuff. I'm going to throw this one underhand. Watch this behind the back.
I'm gonna throw
like,
it between my
what
legs.
Is this? Are we in the park all of a sudden? Like, this is a no-look pass. Huh?
That's right.
What are you doing?
Just go out, run around, I'll throw
I spent a career watching Trent Dilfer and, you know, God bless them, you know, Craig Erickson and Chris
Jeff
Sims.
Garcia.
Jeff Garcia and Brian Griese and, you know, Mike Glennon and I don't know, just, you know, the McCown boys and, you know, Byron Leftwich and I can go on and on. This dude gets out here and starts throwing it between his legs and completing balls. What are we doing? How good is he?
He gets bored. He's so
the only way they lose is because he gets disinterested.
But I mean, okay, I see your point, and you're right about that. But again, I'll go back to there are some games that you just can't explain. You look at the schedule and say, how did that happen?
No, it's the NFL. Listen, Tom, you've done this long enough. You went on the road trips with me. I think it was you.
Yep.
We know that, like, they're the best players in the world. There really isn't that much difference between teams, to be honest with you.
Right.
Usually it's the quarterback or maybe one great player that has a great day. But it truly is the any given Sunday.
It is. It's not college football. You're not going to see Alabama play somebody and get beat 38-3 or whatever.
No. It's not Steeman Willie Beeman either, but it's close. You know what I mean? Like, you can pretty much anyone can. I just remember Gruden. Like, there's a lot of Grudenisms that he left with me that he shared, you know, that I still remember.
Like, let's go to Hooters, man. You want to meet over at Hooters?
Hey, man. I'll tell you what, man. You want a chicken wing? Big beer? My man. And he gets excited. He gets kind of, hey, man. Yeah, kind of like that. But
every conversation I had with John Gruden the last 5 years that I was at the newspaper was, "Hey man, when are we getting that beer?" I'm like, "John, I'm around every night."
Yeah, you never call me.
Never call me. All right, man, I'll get back to you. Never heard.
I told you about the one when we went to Hooters, you know, because that's where you meet John Gruden. When John was in town doing the Monday Night Football game, or no, he was getting inducted into the Ring of Honor,
right?
And that was when he was like using the Bucks for leverage to get the job with the Raiders. So we showed up.
Wait,
at
what?
Yeah, believe it or not, shocking, I know. So we went to the Hooters because they had like a, you know, got to have a night at Hooters with the Monday Night crew, and so we walked in there. Hey man, how you doing? Good to see you, Rick. What's up? You know, and there was thousands of people in there, everybody from, you know, it was like a This Is Your Life, if you remember that old show. So
yeah,
we're talking, and he goes, "Hey man, you still do that radio show, right? With that guy. Who's that guy?" I go, "Tom Jones." "Yeah, you still do that radio show?" I go, "Well."
Part of the fired football coaches of America, John.
Right. I'm on the fired you're the FFCA, I'm the FRCA. So, you know, we got that in common. And he goes, you got to be kidding me, man. He goes, I'll tell you what, man. He goes, how about you and me and Tom, we get a radio show together? How about that? I go, any day. In fact, I already have that show. I just do your part.
Yeah.
So.
So. Yeah, we do. You don't know it, John, but we do a show with me, you, Tom, Chris Berman. That's
right. Yeah. But, yeah. So, he was trying to, like, sell me on a race. So you don't have to sell me too hard.
Just do it at Hooters, man. We'll be chicken wings at 6:30 in the morning.
Right. It would be great. But one of the
So what did he tell you?
One of the tenets that he left me with was this. He says, I'll tell you what, man. If you're not ready to play in this league, you're going to get your block knocked off. I don't care who it is you're playing. And I just remember that, and it's true. Any team, any given, you show up and just think that you're going to win, and you just kind of like, you know, before you know it, you're in a dogfight, and it's too late. It's too late. Yeah. There is also something with this team that I don't get. And I'm wondering about this because, you know, here's the quarterback who's been on the biggest stage not once, not twice, 9 times and won 6 times, right? Came back from 28-3 in Atlanta, for God's sakes, right? In the biggest stage.
That was a problem last night. They waited till 38 to get their three.
I know they should have given up. Yeah, exactly. A field goal, you know, if they'd have kicked the field goal early and it was 28-3, then it's on. But, you know, so I'm guessing that him and Gronk and maybe Brown and those, they're used to this, right? What is it about these guys on primetime? Like, they're a totally different. It's like, are you scared? Are you scared? Like, the bright lights come on, and they're not the same guys. And they played that 4 o'clock game, which the whole nation got, you know, with Aikman and Buck against Green Bay.
That's the greatest game they played
all year, right? They got down early, but they came back and just rolled them. But as far as, like, Sunday night, Monday night,
mm-hmm.
awful. They're 1-2, but they've been awful.
Yeah. The other team was ready. There's no doubt about that.
Maybe they got
sick of listening all week to how they were going to get run over by the Bucks.
Maybe.
And you were at the game. Mm-hmm. I was watching a game on television, and they do the pregame and everything, and they had like however many guys they got on that broadcast pregame, 7 guys, 6 guys, whatever, all of them picked the Bucks,
yeah.
And they made it sound like, it could go either way. No, I'm like, nope, Tampa Bay.
Pretty much everyone, ESPN, Fox, and NFL Network, it was Bucks sweep.
Yep. And I think the Saints, you know, not that that's.
They don't sit there.
I'm real careful with this.
Maybe is, you know.
Yeah, like, oh, they're going to try harder. What, you weren't already trying? You know, but I do think there was something. They did come in with a chip on their shoulder. They certainly came in ready to play. And
well, they'd already beaten them once, and I'm sure they felt like, you know, everybody was favored. I mean, there could be something to that, and they could have, or maybe, and I'm just spitballing, they're better.
Well, they are better. They might be better.
And here's the thing.
Well, they are.
Sean Payton has been doing this for a minute with Drew Brees. Now he's got this Taysom Hill cat. Have you seen this guy?
Oh, my gosh. That guy. Talk about being jacked.
Ooh.
That guy.
Yeah. He's a rolling.
All right, let's get to their other quarterback real quick.
All right. I'll do it.
I'm watching. Let me set it up.
I hope he's
not
listening. He might be a subscriber, but okay.
So let me set it up for you, and then I'll let you go. But in case you weren't watching, I'm watching a game last night, post-game, Michelle Tafoya interviewing Drew Brees, and what's his name? Cam Jordan comes up and sort of, you know, mugging for the camera behind him. And then here comes Jameis eating a W. Eating a W, Rick
Which
Stroud.
For those of you who don't know, back in the day when he played for the Tampa Bay Bucks in a pregame hype with his team, he went weird and started saying, I need to eat a W. Y'all ever had the apple soup? I need to eat a W.
And then he
would
put
take his 3 fingers
in
the motion
a
of a W and started licking them.
By the way, they got killed that day. I think.
They got killed, and it became, Tom, here's the thing. As you know, it became a meme for everything that was wrong about Jameis Winston. This was not like, isn't that nice? I love it when I see that image. No, this was like he was lambasted for that.
It was embarrassing.
It was awful, and it's popped. In fact, other teams used to make fun of him for doing it. There was another quarterback that beat them that did it one day.
Right.
Just to point it out. So this was not even a good thing. Like this was as bad a defining, and it was a low point of his career because they got rocked, I think, in that game. And it might have been the game where he got knocked out of the game, was on the sideline, and then Mike Evans came over and tried to, you know, he was like fighting with Marshawn Lattimore. I don't know. Evans got suspended for a game. The wheels might have come off that day. But regardless, maybe I'm mixing them up. It was not a good thing. So, okay, so he does the E to W thing. Okay. Did you see the locker room afterwards?
Well, I saw them dancing.
Yeah, the dance. And then he ate another W. So he's eating W's, and it's all over the internet. It's all over social media. What say you, Tom Jones?
Well, here's the thing I'll say about that. Okay, you want to stick it to your old team a little bit. They're the ones that gave up on you. They brought in a 43-year-old quarterback. I have no problem with them going, all right. Here's where I do have a problem. You had nothing to do with it, man.
That 12-yard completion didn't change the outcome, you don't think?
No, not at all. Like
the first pass, by the way, he's thrown all year.
You go in and you want to come up for the camera. This is the man right here, Drew Brees and Pat. Hall of Famer right here. Here's the GOAT. This is the GOAT. You want to do all that? That's right. Full. Don't eat the W like you had anything to do with it. That's my take.
Okay.
What about you?
Yeah. I don't want to sound like I'm not trying to bash the guy or, you know, I covered him for 5 years. I got along fine with Jameis for what I did. I don't know him that well. I've seen him in some social situations, whatever, okay? I know he's not a big fan of mine. Let's put it that way. But regardless, it's okay. It's what this job's we do, whatever. I will say this. I've covered a lot of players. Warren Sapp, a lot of guys, right? Good guys, mostly good guys, whatever. And I think Jameis has some great qualities, and he's done a lot, you know, socially in the community and, you know, these entertainment rooms, all that stuff. I went to a lot of those. Here's the thing. I think in some ways, he's the most self-unaware player that I have ever covered. Like, doesn't even see the irony or the... I mean, you remember the school thing, which seems like a small thing now, but it was, you know, at the time, the things were going on for him off the field. It's just, wherever he is, in a cab, in an Uber drive, I mean, he just does stuff that just doesn't make sense to me. Like, if he'd have thought about it, you know? But I don't think he has any regrets. Look, I think it showed one thing. There's a lot of bitterness there, man. There's I don't blame him for that.
Why? I don't blame him.
Whoa. Why? 5 years? You had 5 years?
They gave him every chance, but that's the way athletes are made. That's just the way that... I mean,
well, you can want to beat your former team, but...
Tom Brady is still pissed at every team in the league for passing him up in the draft. Like, let it go,
yeah, they
man.
All
it's
find their chip. I get
it's
it.
Been
they all have
years.
Shoulder chips. Yeah, you want to carry that shoulder chip. That's fine.
And I think that's what it was. I mean, he's still bitter, and I think he still thinks he could play. And I also, and I don't know this for a fact.
Well, then go play. You know, there were 30 teams that needed quarterbacks, and you found one that paid you $1 million.
I think he thinks that he got blamed for everything here, and it wasn't all. And he doesn't feel like it was all his fault, and it might not have been.
But why would
you know?
I don't know. The 30 interceptions, buddy, with 112 points off turnovers. There's a hell of a lot of fault right there.
I'm the last guy in the world to stick it up for Jameis Winston. Trust
I'll say this again. Who are you?
You're right. And
what's happened
unaware.
To you?
He has who me?
Yeah.
He's just not. I agree with what you said a minute ago about him. He is completely self-unaware. He doesn't, and I'm not talking about the serious stuff now. You know.
Well, we could, but I mean, I'm just like even yeah, even I mean, that like that might be a different problem. But like even
no,
then,
that's,
like
yeah, I'm not.
Would you ever
that.
Put yourself in a position where something would happen again?
No, I'm not including that into this.
Right.
But I'm including it in like sort of the Crab Legs thing, or standing up on campus and saying what he said that time.
Yeah.
Like, that
yeah,
sort
yeah.
of thing, you know, or eating just some of his post game, or eating it like. Eating
or how
a
about tub how here. About this? I'm the best that ever played. Check your sheet.
Right. Yeah. Right. Stuff like that. He just doesn't realize how it comes off sometimes.
Right,
and
or maybe didn't care.
But I mean, I get the bitterness. Like, I don't blame him for that. I don't think he's right, but I certainly understand where he's coming from.
So you were okay with him eating the W after the game?
No, because he didn't have anything to do with it. Now, if he'd come out and played and won the game, then I'd have
his
less
team
of a problem.
Won.
With it.
I mean, he was happy.
And
about
he had nothing to do with it, though. You know, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's where I had the issue. Is but it was certainly. Look, it was entertaining. Like, I immediately went to Twitter, and everybody was like,
"Oh my god!"
Like, not just like local people. Like people like I follow a lot of like people who cover the media. Not
it's,
you know,
you know what the word viral means. You know what viral means, right?
There were people that like covered who write about politics. That's all they write about, and yeah. they're like, Jameis just went there. Jameis just ate a W. Like everybody would be like, oh, what he did? What that mm-hmm. was all. And so I actually kind of liked. How did it go over with Bucks fans? Did you hear from?
Did you hear from anybody? Surprising about that, and I'll hear from them when they listen to this podcast. Is that in addition to being one of the more self-unaware guys, he is also one of the most polarizing players I've ever covered. Everybody has an opinion. You love him, you hate him.
Do like, they still love? Are there still people around? Oh, Tom? You hear more than I do. Are there still?
Oh yeah. And some of them are Florida State fans, and that's fine. But there's a part of Buck Nation. I don't want to say they root against Brady, but they root for Winston. You know,
right.
And they thought that he got a raw deal. And there is this narrative out there that, like, Bruce Arians lied to him. He'd have signed somewhere else. No. Yeah. That's not the case because, you know, if somebody had come in there and given him a good opportunity and more than $1 million, you know, even if he calls, like, the New Orleans Saints, you know, what, the Harvard or quarterback schools, whatever he called it, he'd have gone there. He'd have gone if somebody had given him a chance to start, right? Because he had no chance to start at New Orleans. And in fact, there's a quarterback ahead of him, Taysom Hill, who we just talked about, and he's signed for next year, and Jameis is not. So that's my thing. It's kind of like, yeah, you know, did they really lie to him? Because my reporting of the issue at the time, and I'm convinced this is correct, because I know who told me, is that they were going after Brady hard from the get-go. And folks, if you think that Tom Brady and, you know, the Bucks just called his agents on March 14th or whatever it was and say, hey, you think Tom would be interested? Oh, yeah, I think he would. If you think that's how it works in America, I got news for you. So this whole pursuit, I think, you know, began at least at the end of the season, if not probably before, but at least at the end. And it was going to be Brady or Teddy Bridgewater was number two. Mm-hmm. And was Jameis out of the picture? No, but he was a distant third. You know, in other words, they were getting, and here's the thing about Teddy. If you go back to the day that they had the signing day, Bridgewater waits until he hears that the Brady deal is, because Brady was talking to the Chargers, he had a few other teams. When it was clear that Brady was going to Tampa, then Bridgewater signed with Carolina.
Right.
Because he had that offer was out there waiting for him. So I think Bridgewater would prefer it. Where would you rather play, a brand new program in Carolina or one with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and everybody here?
Sure. No,
so, you know, so there's this narrative out there that the Bucks strung him out and they, you know, they left him with no options and they promised him he would come back. If you're a free agent and you get to free agency, that's not a promise.
Right. I think if you can play, people will find a way to get you in there and play.
No doubt.
You know, I mean, this isn't Little League. This isn't Pop Warner where, like, everybody gets to play and we'll give participation trophies at the end. Like,
if you're good, you're playing.
Yeah, if you're good, you're playing. Right. And they'll find a spot for you.
But see, here's the thing. Like, okay, so nowadays you don't have that many years. Right. So Jameis came in, he was like 21, I think, and this is like his sixth year, right? Fifth or sixth year. So he's not 30 yet. But guess what? How about Tua Tagovailoa? How about Kyler Murray? And coming out of college, we got
the Tiger King, Joe Burrow, Cincinnati.
Yeah, he looks fine. Yeah.
And then how about the guys coming out?
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence. Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence.
Justin Fields.
Like, there's going to be new guys every year. And, like, Jameis's age, right? If you're not a starter at this point, what are you? How long are you going to be in the league?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a whole new evolution of quarterbacks about to hit the league. And they used to look for the guy that's 6'4 in the pocket, throws it through a wall. Now, I think these little guys have proven they can play.
Oh, yeah, Kyler Murray can play.
Yeah.
Russ Wilson can play.
Yeah. I think it's different. I don't think, you know, move around a little bit. Don't run to get, you know, to get hurt like RG3, but like slide. And so it's gonna, I don't know how many more, you know, and look, he, you know, he may, Breeze could get hurt and he could take him to a Super Bowl and be right here in Tampa Bay. We saw Dilfer do it, you know. I mean, really, I mean, who thought that would happen? But it's possible. So where do the Bucks get out? I mean, what happens to the Bucks? What are they? They're a playoff team? They're a playoff team, right?
Yeah, they're a playoff team. I want to throw this out. This is something that Colin Cowherd said. I don't know if you saw Colin Cowherd's remarks.
He's a big Bucks guy.
He loves the Bucks. Yeah, worked here for a long time.
Yeah.
He said, and this is, let me just read a little bit of what he said. He says, I watched two football teams. He said this yesterday. I watched two football teams last night, Saints and Tampa. One made it clear that they wanted to do, and one was making crap up. You can blame Brady or the defense, but what was that from Tampa? The first five drives went 3 and out. Their protection was bad. They didn't try to establish a running game. It was a series of low percentage throws. Did they spend all week babysitting Antonio Brown? Okay, and here's the part that I want to throw at you, Rick. This was a coaching mismatch. I don't know what Tampa was doing, and that's on the head coach. I still don't think they can run the football enough. I don't think they use Leonard Fournette enough. I don't see any adjustments from Tampa. My knock is on Bruce Arians, is that he's fun, he's funny, but his teams play way too loose. They're a little inconsistent. I don't know exactly what I'm getting. And the great coaches will have one on in 30 minutes. I always felt like I knew what Jimmy Johnson, what he was trying to do. I knew what Chuck Noll, what he was trying to do, Bill Belichick. For 3.5 hours, I had no idea what Tampa was doing. And this is the inconsistency of Bruce Arians makes me worry about that team.
Well, look, Bruce Arians, you know, got to head coaching pretty late in his career in the NFL anyway. He's been in football 40 years. You know, he was a Bear Bryant disciple, all of that. He's won the Coach of the Year twice in his career. Not many people have done that. And he's 68 years old, and he trusts his guys. And he wasn't going to coach unless he got his guys. And his guys are his coaching staff. And those guys include Todd Bowles, who's pretty damn good. You know, I think most people would say, yeah, you know what, finding a defensive coordinator, he's up the top of my list. Okay? Did not have a good plan on Sunday night. Did not. I still can't tell you, and I wrote about this. You spent the entire year, right, playing press man coverage, blitzing all the time, shutting down the run and going after quarterbacks, and you get a guy like Drew Brees, whose average throw, you know, is about 6 yards in the air this year, and you're now going to rush four and drop into a zone coverage so that he can just hit windows all day and not be pressured and not have to make pinpoint throws to man coverage? Like, where did this come from? Like, that's not even who you are, right? I don't even, like, I... And they did, like, they had a blitz early on in that game. Jamel Dean comes clean off the edge. And Drew pump fakes him like he's taking a three-point shot. And Dean jumps straight up in the air. He could have ran through this guy and put him in the goalpost. And he completes the ball to a tight end, and they keep driving, right? And then they blow a coverage. Absolutely blow one in zone. And the guy ran by himself to the end zone. Drew almost overthrew him, almost threw him out of the back of the end zone.
Yeah, almost threw him out of the end zone, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm thinking... And they didn't change. Tom, they didn't adjust. Right. I mean, he completed 11 of his first 13 throws, and I think it was to 11 different guys. So the Saints offense has evolved over years and years and years with Peyton, with Sean. And whatever that game plan was, it better be in the trash by, you know, yes, last night.
They were just setting them up for the playoff game, I think. But
maybe.
But here's the thing about Arians. And I get what Colin Cowherd's saying, and that's sort of the easy way out of, oh, this is the reputation of Bruce
Arians. Sean Payton's a better coach than
Bruce Arians is, you know, loose. You know, he plays.
Well,
he's
is loose.
But
there's no doubt he's loose.
Nobody was saying
that
stuff at 5 o'clock yesterday.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Like, at 5 o'clock yesterday, or on Sunday. At 5 o'clock on Sunday, everybody was, hey, this is
Well, understand this. Understand this. Colin, and I'm not going to make a policy, he can speak for himself, but, like, Colin has been on the Bucks since Brady arrived. He said that these guys are going to Super Bowl. You don't understand how good this defense is.
He loves the defense. Yeah.
So when things, he loves Brady too now.
Sure.
So when things went wrong, it couldn't be Brady's fault.
Right.
That's just my analysis.
Yeah, that's true. Find somebody that loves you as much as Colin Coward loves Russell Wilson.
Oh, my God. Really?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I'm telling
you. Which is fine because I like Russ Wilson, too.
But here's the thing. You know, there's plenty of blame to go around, and Bruce has to wear it. And he does. And you know what? There is something to it. There really is because, you know, he decided, okay, when he went to come back to coaching because he was out of there at Arizona for health reasons, tried the broadcasting thing, ended up traveling more than when he was coach. So he comes back to coaching, but he tells the Glazers, I'm not calling plays. And they're like, wait, what? You heard me. It's my offense, but I got my own coordinator. It's Byron Leftwich. He's gonna do the scripts. I'm not staying till midnight at the building every night. You know? Right. I'm going home about 8:30. I'll be in the meetings. We see the game the same way. He knows how to prepare a quarterback, how to do scripts, play sheets, first 15 play, all that. So he's not, you know, I mean, it's his offense, right? But it's like saying, you know, hey, Tom, you want to drive my car? Well, it's the same car. You might not drive it the same way I do. So I think Byron Leftwich is, let me ask you this. If you work at the Poynter Institute, right? So, and maybe this is a bad analogy, but like, who's the best political writer or broadcaster in America, right? I don't even know who it is. Who would it be?
Best political
writer talent, somebody that just knows their stuff, right?
I like Maggie Haberman, probably New York
Maggie
Times.
Maggie Haberman. Okay, so you're working with Maggie Haberman, right? Mm-hmm. She comes in, and you're in charge of Maggie Haberman.
Right.
You're supposed to tell her, or would it be suggest to her, what her column is going to be this week,
mm-hmm.
or how she should structure it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how are you going to go about that? Because she's got way more credentials than you ever will, and sure. She's at the top of her game. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Isn't that the position Byron Leftwich is? Is he really? I know he wants to coach. I know he's coaching him, but is he really?
Right.
You know, can he? And so... And I don't know, like, I don't know who is he suggesting plays? I don't know how that works.
Yeah,
I do know this.
Or is it Brady, the offensive coordinator, really?
Well, it's got to move more towards Brady than it does towards Bruce, doesn't it? If he's the guy with the ball. You know, Bruce is coming out yesterday and said, well, Mike Evans is wide open. He's just not seeing it. Like, Bruce is almost like, yeah, you know, Tom, not really doing what we want him to do. Like, so... Tom's doing what Tom is comfortable doing. And there's got to be a kind of a melding of that. But I think Byron Leftwich has had two bad game plans. I'm sorry. You can't run the ball four times in a kneel down. I don't care how bad you get beat. I've seen teams get beat 49-0, and they ran it more than four times.
Right.
You know, if nothing else, just to shorten the game and get the hell out of there.
I was looking for a running clock Sunday night.
Yeah, I mean, they should have. Yeah, exactly. Like,
and what was he still doing in the game real quick by that, too? He got sacked one time, and I was like, oh, my. That happened a couple years ago. That happens a lot in
NFL. You were
in
Arizona, and we wrote that, and you asked Tyler, like.
Look, I had worms crawling out of my ears when I asked.
Because he's a quarterback. I know, but he's your whole franchise.
He is, yeah, he's your quarterback.
The snot kicked out of you.
He's your team.
Yeah, he's the only reason you're here.
Right.
Well, you don't understand, because you never play. You know, it's like one of those, he's the guy, and if he's the guy, he's going to stay out there until, you know. I don't know. To answer your question, they finally took him out the last series for the kneel down, but I don't know why he was out there. I'd have thrown up the white flag at some point,
sure.
Way before that, but that's just me. Because I know the one thing, if he gets hurt, they're not going to the Super Bowl. That's just nothing against Blaine Gabbert. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Happen.
Right.
So, anyway... Interesting stuff. What do we got going on now? This is we'll get into this more maybe on another podcast, but like, just give me the abridged version. Like, do we have
a winner? Has anybody? I know that the news media has declared them. This is the other thing I didn't know. I've learned now how electoral votes are actually certified and passed on to there's a whole process here.
You know what? In the past week, I think the entire nation has learned how the Electoral College works.
It's not a real. Let's be clear. It's not a real college. It's not like Harvard or Yale.
but you know what else we've learned? We've learned
because there are people looking for those applications.
That's true.
Yeah.
But we've also learned the difference between mail-in ballots and provisional ballots. We've learned where Maricopa County is and where Allegheny County is.
I knew where Maricopa is. I spent a lot of time in Maricopa.
I mean, we've become authorities on every county in Pennsylvania and Georgia and Arizona.
That's true.
And Michigan.
Yeah.
And we've learned what Steve Kornacki and John King and I mean, it's been remarkable just to watch everything over the past week. I thought the media did really well covering it. And we have a winner.
Did you think it was it seemed like it took a long time, more than usual.
Sure.
Because of the mail in ballots, right? Yep. That had to be counted. Yep. But they were really like, was CNN the first one to make a call?
CNN barely.
ABC
over a couple,
News?
Yeah, a couple seconds later was like NBC. They all did it within moments. Although,
do they
Fox
use
News
the same services? Like,
no, they have their own people. They have their own people who make the calls. Usually most people pay attention to AP because AP, Associated Press, calls for local races all over the country. But But no, it's typically they have their own people who make the calls on it. And again, it's not official. I mean,
Not yet. Not until they're all certified, and there's still states that are still counting.
Sure.
As we do this,
they're still fine.
But for you, the election is not over.
It's not over, but it's. I mean, it is. I mean, to be clear about it, I think we do have a winner. I know we have a winner. Joe Biden won the election. Joe Biden will be president on January 20th.
What about all these malfeasance?
So far they have. Not saying there won't be anything to it. They're going to have recounts. There will be. They'll look into it. But there's nothing so far as we're recording this to suggest that there's any malfeasance going on.
Widespread fraud or
not even a little bit of fraud. So it's Joe Biden will be the president on January 20th to 2021. There's no doubt in my mind about that, and in most people's minds.
You'll be following the media, following how this is all going to work with the transition, which there doesn't seem to be a transition.
Doesn't seem to be one at the moment. You know what it reminds me of, Rick? I've covered a lot of hockey playoffs, you know, where you go on these long playoff runs. That's what this felt like, where it's just like you're exhausted at the end of it. But it's fun. And you know what I felt like? And you'll appreciate this, Rick. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And so will Steve. Is that feeling you have when you're doing morning radio? And seriously, you know what it's like. You remember that like it's almost a weight of how tired you are because you're working so much and it's just, and you're not sleeping at all. And it's just, and I remember, and somebody told me, I think Steve told me this. Steve, when we first went on radio and you have to go to bed early, you know, when you do morning radio and have these weird hours and you say, when Friday night comes, I'm staying up late, man. Cause I can't.
No, you're not.
And Friday night at 9:30, you're like barely able to keep your
eyes. I was told about morning radio among many lies was that,
you got a 2-year contract.
That was one of them. when Friday comes, you're going to love cause going to bed early and just like, I don't have to get up the next day. And, you know, I did embrace some early Friday nights.
See, I was looking forward to staying up Friday night.
Because you're a night owl.
Because I'm a night owl, right.
The rest of the week you had to go to bed early.
But every Friday night would come, I'm like, oh, I'm staying up. What's on HBO? Oh, there's a good movie on at midnight. And it was like, seriously,
could
stay past 9:30.
Tom, 9 o'clock for me. Yeah, it was 9:15.
And you'd wake up and, you know, at 9 o'clock
TV's
the next
on.
Morning.
Yeah.
But that's the way I felt during election week, you know, was just going to bed.
Zombie.
Like election night, I went to the Tuesday. I went to bed at like 6 a.m.
I texted you at 3 a.m.
I know. You and I were texting at 3 a.m. Yeah.
The hell was I doing?
I don't know what you were doing, man.
I think I woke up.
Were you still up or had you gone to bed?
Well, you know what? I had gone to bed about probably 12:30 or 1 because it was clear they weren't going to know who won. And,
right.
And it was actually starting to tick me off a little bit because, you know, there's all kinds of like, well, we got 100,000 votes here and 200, you know, it was like, come on, this is not, they're not going to count these. But then I woke up and I thought I read something that was wrong. I'm pretty sure, didn't Trump or one of them come out and say they had won? They had won the election or no?
Yes, Trump did that night. Okay. Yeah, late.
That night. So he
Biden came out and said, let's count all the votes, and then Trump said...
Right. So there was some controversy. And that's when I texted you and I said, what's going on? Because I was like in a fog. I was like, I couldn't turn on the TV. My wife was sleeping next to me and I just got the phone. And you're like, they don't know. So, yeah. But that was the... You know, it used to be a little like Christmas Eve for me, like election night, right?
Yeah.
Where you stay up late, you know, you get the presents out, you wrap them, you know, you put them under the tree, whatever. You're all excited. You're playing Christmas carols. Kids go to bed, whatever. You know, you're like, you know, that's like the thing. Watch It's a Wonderful Life, get some eggnog, whatever. But now, like, I don't think we'll ever watch an election and even presume to know who's going to win by the end of the night.
Like, I don't think. Just
think
because
those days are gone.
And here's the thing. And because of that, I think that's why there are a lot of people out there who now feel like this thing's rigged, or it's because it's unusual. It's because mm-hmm. we've never. But look, all these votes, like you take a place like Pennsylvania, like everybody voted and they voted legally. Yeah. It's just they counted it different.
Well, we could know, but like in Pennsylvania, they're not allowed to count absentee or early votes until after the polls close.
Right,
and that's
which
because
is in Florida,
they asked to do it, and legislature or the GOP-controlled legislature told them they couldn't count a vote until the voting was over.
Right, and that's why it's so late and slow.
Why it took so long.
Right. That's why Florida was done and wrapped up, and everything was great.
Right, yeah. Exactly, because Florida knows how to. And that was the fun part. Like, Florida, we take a lot of knocks, don't we?
Yeah.
For how we do things. At least, like, this time, we got it right. You couldn't make fun of us.
Got rid of the Chads a long time ago.
But anyway, there's still a lot of work to be done here covering this thing, but I think the heavy lift is over for now.
Yeah, so. Prediction, and I'll let you go. Kevin Cash, does he win Manager of the Year?
I think so, right? I mean, Rick.
And then he comes and gets
like,
it from Blake.
I saw
come and
Tony
get it?
Romo there for a second. They're like, I think so, Rick.
That's not bad.
Oh, here we go, Jim. Here we go. Kevin Cash is going to take it.
Tony? That's my favorite part. Favorite part of the impersonation is that.
Oh, it's not good, Jim. He's gonna come get Blake Snell right now. But here he goes. He's going to be Tony?
That's the only Jim Nancy you have to do.
I didn't mean to go in. Yeah, what have you asked? I think he is. I think he will win. I do. I think he will win Manager of the Year.
See what I want to see him come get it from Blake Snell.
Well, or as, you know what? As he's going to get it, Blake Snell tackles him, and then Rick Renteria runs up there and grabs it.
Oh God, Rick Renteria!
Like that. Chicago White Sox fired the guy.
He's up for Manager of the Year, but you got fired. Shouldn't that disqualify you at some way, at some level? I don't understand. How could you be mad? How can you be Manager of the Year? All of a sudden, I turn into Jerry Seinfeld. How can you be Manager of the Year?
Well, if he wins, they definitely don't have GM of the Year.
That's true. That's
right.
True. Okay, let me ask you this before we go, Rick. If you're Kevin Cash, because you can see how this is going to play out, you know how this is going to play out. Do you even want to win Manager of the Year at this point? Because for the next 12 hours on Twitter, you're just going to get raked over the coals because there's no way everybody. I guarantee you, Blake Snell's name will be trending on Twitter right after Kevin Cash's name Manager of the Year. You know what I mean?
Well, it's funny you said that because you know how much I respect Mark Topkin and the job he does. And he wrote, he got the kind of the first exclusive after all that happened, right? Like the next day when Kevin was just getting lambasted and like no one had talked to Kevin and Kevin talked to Mark.
Right.
It was an incredible story about how hard it was to sleep. And, you know, well, then he did it as an advance for him getting Manager of the Year. And it all came back up again. He goes, are you kidding? That's all I think about. I think about it all day.
Poor
I think
guy.
About it at night.
I feel
it
bad for him.
I do, because I'm afraid, unlike the Lightning, okay, which was an organization, and I guess to some extent John Cooper, you said it. When they lost 4 to Columbus after winning the President's Trophy or whatever, you said, won't matter what they do. Don't care. Don't even wake me up till you get back to the playoffs. Then we can talk, because nothing else matters. It's win a Stanley Cup or you're toast. Right. And they did it. Now, I don't know how they did it, but they did it, okay? Well, what are you going to say about Kevin Cash? I mean, he has to get back to the World Series and win it?
And that's the thing. Like, he will, yes. I mean,
I
don't think so, but I think people will look at it that way. And he will be defined, unfortunately, by that.
His
and
whole
I don't
managerial experience could very likely be, because he probably will never have. I mean, look, not many guys go to the World Series, right?
Right.
He's just like the Stanley Cup.
And we're always going to remember this, Rick, even though that didn't necessarily cost them.
You know
the
why,
World
though?
Series.
But you know
they
why?
Gonna,
we'll,
they
we'll
had to come back
it.
In game seven still.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll remember it for a lot of reasons. But the biggest reason is it has now become the ground zero for the debate of analytics versus, you know, non-analytics baseball. Like, there's a place for them, but this is why, you know, they're bad for baseball. And Kevin Cash fell prey to it, and it was preordained. It's bigger than just he took out a pitcher, right? It represents the whole argument,
right?
You know, and he's now the symbol of, you know, why something is bad for baseball. And frankly, I mean, it is possible that, you know, baseball may look at the shifts and say you can't do them. They may look at some of these things and say we don't like it, you know.
Right.
But no matter what, I don't know how Kevin Cash, can you see him, can he outmanage this? Can his career outmanage that moment?
I think it'll always be pretty high on his Wikipedia page.
First,
you know,
line.
It's going to be the one. It's going to, until they actually win, or if he wins a couple. But I mean, here's the thing, Rick. It reminds me a little bit in some ways of Bill Buckner. Like, Bill Buckner never outlived that, really. I mean, even today, the first thing you think about Bill Buckner, even though, look, they had a game seven that they were up in the next night, up 3-0 or whatever, and back in the 86 World Series. It wasn't just Bill Buckner's fault that they lost that series. And it just wasn't Kevin Cash's fault that they lost that game six. And we don't even know if they'd have won game seven.
I don't know who wrote the lead, but I think it was in Sports Illustrated, so it could have been one of the great baseball writers who wrote it, but it was a story after that Buckner error. And I guess they had a parade. He was writing about the parade that they had for the Red Sox, even though they lost. And he's like, yeah, it's, you know, the parade route will go past this and the old North Church, and then it winds through the city and this and that, and then it'll finish going through Bill Buckner's lakes.
Oh, jeez. That's awesome.
It was, hate to tell you, it's one of the best leads I've ever read, but it was, that's particularly harsh.
But it is amazing how, like, one moment in a World Series can define something, but it actually...
And he was a terrific player.
Didn't affect the outcome. For Carlton Fisk's home run in Game 6 of the 75 World Series. Everyone thinks that won the World Series. They lost the series.
They did. Right.
It was a great home run. It forced Game 7.
Right,
but everyone thinks that he won a World Series with that hit, and it didn't. I mean, it was a great hit, and Carlton Fisk's a great player, but it didn't win a World Series. They lost that World Series.
Right. It's kind
of
like everybody
and maybe
thinks,
the best moment of this series was Brett Phillips, and you know that's what Tampa Bay fans will always remember. And it didn't win a World. I mean, it won a game, but it didn't win a World Series. Yeah,
it's like the Miracle on Ice, right? That was not the gold medal game.
Yeah,
you know, and it's sort of perceived that way.
But I hope I think he would like to win the Manager of the Year. And
he deserves
it. I think
he
is the Manager of the Year.
Yeah.
And
don't forget, he beat the Yankees and the Astros just to have a crack at the Dodgers.
A team that was probably better than they were.
For sure.
And played better than they did and hit more than they did.
But the voting was done after the regular season.
So it didn't
include the playoffs, Rick.
True.
And he had the best record in baseball.
I still think Rick Renteria is going to win it. But
you think?
I just think that the Rays were predicted as one of the favorites in the AL East in the American League.
True.
The White Sox were not predicted to do what they did. I mean, they were going to be better, but they weren't going to win the Central. They weren't going to be, you know, 35, 36, 37 wins, whatever they were.
Jeez, that'd be disappointing, wouldn't
who,
it?
And who's Charlie Montoya is the other candidate? Sorry, Charlie.
So let me get this straight. I'm going to lose to a guy that was my bench coach and another guy that doesn't have a job?
I mean, I think Kevin Cash deserves it, but I think Rick Renteria will win it.
Wow. Well, we'll know tomorrow when we're on the podcast. We'll talk all about it. Maybe we can have Kevin Cash on and tell us how much he thinks about it. But boy, what a moment. All right, Tommy, I appreciate you joining me, man. Check out Tom's newsletter on pointer.org. That's POYNTER. And damn nice of you to come aboard, man.
Always have a blast when I'm on here. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, man. Thanks. Hey, Tom Jones is back for more to talk about the state of college football. Who are the best coaches in the game? And what's happened to Michigan and Penn State? Is this Florida's year to win the SEC? Sure looks like it. We'll dive into all of that. And, hey, just remember, if you're looking for the best party platters in Tampa Bay, call our friends at Mr. Empanada. I'm telling you, they have delicious menu items on top of their empanadas that are made from scratch. They include soups and salads and Cuban sandwiches. You can order online at MrEmpanada.com, or you can call any of their 7 convenient locations in Tampa Bay, where Latin food, quality, and service meet. It's Mr. Empanada. For Steve Bursnick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.